Right. Okay. Right, so we're going to start now. And the Sedra this week is the Sedra which has got the splitting of the speech. And that is the focus of this discourse. The discourse was given in 1970 and for the Shabbat Mishalach. And so we're going to be exploring that. And there's a song of the sea. We'll just, Noga, it's wonderful seeing you.
Hi.
That's really nice. I haven't seen you for a long, long time.
I know, but I have seen you.
Okay. Well, shalom, shalom.
That's really shalom. Nice seeing you.
Right.
So is someone on the phone?
Yeah. I'm not sure where. So I'm going to share the screen now and look first of all at the song of the sea. Right. So this is actually part of the, it's part of the Sedra of the week. There's a phone which is, can I just mute it? Right, okay. Okay, so so this is a part of the Sedra of the week, the Torah reading for this week, and it's got Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael et Hashira Azot Lashem. Then Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song to God, and Vayomru Lemor, and they said, Ashira Lashem, I will sing to God. Ki ga'o ga'a, because he is very exalted. Sus v'rochvo rama v'yam. He hurled the horses and their riders into the sea. Now this term, ga'o ga'a, he's very mighty. They translated here, he's triumphed gloriously, but that's not really following the word. Ge'e means proud. He's proud, exalted. He's proud over the proud ones. And then comes the text of this song. I'll just point out that at the beginning, in English, it says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song. Now, the funny thing about the Hebrew is that instead of saying sang, it says will sing. Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael, then Moses and the children of Israel will sing. It's in the future tense. And another peculiarity is that you have Moses and the children of Israel, you would expect that to be in the plural, but the word Yashir is in the singular, as if it's one person singing. So Moses and the children of Israel, he will sing. It's a third person singular, imperfect future. And so this is the text of this song. And one of the interesting things about it is that when the men had finished singing, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia, then Miriam the prophetess, Achot Aaron, the sister of Aaron and Moses, she took et hataf biyada, she took a drum in her hand, vateitzena chol anashim achareya, and they had a big women's song, betupim cholot, with drums and with timbrels, or maybe with dancers. So it's an interesting thing. You have the men singing and then the women singing. So we just had a little conference about feminism in Chabad, and it really fits. It's actually not discussed in the discourse. Really, it's just this this passage from the Torah, and what we're going to do, find the melody of the discourse, and then we're going. Let's. Right, okay, thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, lovely. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, thank you. So here we have the beginning of this discourse, which was said in 1970. And Az Yashem Moshe Avnei Yisrael, then men, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, sang or will sing this song, Vugomer, and so on. Hine Shirat Hayam Ba Behemshech La'achli Kriyat Yashem. Now this song of the sea, what we call the Red Sea, the splitting of the Red Sea, tremendous phenomenon of the splitting of the sea. Moses and the Jewish people sang this song in a way, as we've heard, Az Yashir, Lushon Yachid in the singular. Now what does that suggest? Hainu Shemoshe uvnei Yisrael hayu b'shaveh. That is, and the Jewish people were equal. B'madrega achat. They were on one level. Now, Moses and the Jewish people, we normally think of a very hierarchical system, hierarchy of different tribes, and some tribes are considered more important than others, and then there are different positions in the tribes. But nonetheless, with this song, everyone was equal. All were one together with Moses. Kishira hu inyan simcha, because it's an expression of joy. V'simcha poretz geder, and joy breaks through. Now I was once v'lachen, and therefore hushu kol gedarim v'agbalot. Since joy breaks through barriers, therefore all the barriers and limitations v'achilukim and distinction between Moses and the Jewish people were removed. Right, this is a real idea. Postmodern concept of all barriers being removed, everything is unified. Ad shahayu. So therefore, the differences between Moses and Israel, ad shahayu b'madrega achat, till they were all on one level, all the same. And so therefore, it speaks about them in the singular. They're all together in the singular tense, the singular person. So, v'tzarich la'avin. Yes.
May I ask?
Yes, Rivka.
Is it spiritual level?
Sorry?
Is it spiritual level? Whether on the same spiritual level or just one level?
Well, you see, at this point, it really means the spiritual level.
Okay.
They to understand it, they all reached the essence. And okay. When you're at the level of the essence, everything is equal.
Thank you. Okay, I accept. Yeah.
And the essence revealed to all of them.
Okay, thank you. Fine.
Now, normally, it should be in Hebrew, Simcha Poretzet Geder. Joy breaks through the barrier, and Poretzet should be in the feminine, and here it's Simcha Poretz Geder. That joy breaks the barrier, but the Simcha is feminine and Poretz is masculine. But that is the way that in the writings of the sages, in Hasidic teachings and earlier. I once taught this in the Lubavitch Girls School teaching a group of year 9 girls. And a parent complained, not grammatical. It should be Simcha Poretzet Geder and not Poretz Geder. So I wrote a long, a long explanation. But I added the words, the idea, joy breaks through the embryo of grammar, of Hebrew grammar. The Rebbe asked, for Tzarich Lahavin, now we have to understand, Mahu Godel, great, special, remarkable quality, the Kriyat Yam Suf of the splitting of the Red Sea. In fact, it's a rather, didn't have to go near that sea, and they didn't actually cross it. They didn't go into the sea on one side and then cross it and come out the other side. They made a semicircle. They went out the same side, in the Talmud, passing this point, this historical event, Tosafot explains that they went in and made a kind of semicircle detour in the water and then came out. And the water had become dry land. But So what is the whole thing? What's actually happening? We must say that there was some really internal thing that was taking place, some intimate, special, spiritual quality, and we need to understand that. Now, that is an interesting thing. That's the theme of this discourse. Hopefully, it's a very long discourse, so we're going to miss them. But discourse gives an answer. But it's interesting that the splitting of the Red Sea, as I wrote in my email, is part of prayers. And in fact, every single day of the year, Yom Kippur, whichever festival, Shabbat, weekdays, Tisha B'Av, whatever it is, we always do recite this Song of the Sea. So it, there's, you know, given that we say it every single, it's worth understanding a little bit more about it. Now, then there's another point about this, which is intriguing, but we also have to understand Masha Matzino with Ivrei Razal. We find in the teachings of Talmud, the Midrash, the expression, halashon, the expression, eki kriyat yamsuf, it's as difficult for God. So certain things seem to be easy for God and others difficult. That's what do you mean that it's difficult for God? God can do anything. And if you're saying something's difficult for God, why is the sea? Was the Hanukkah miracle difficult? But what makes it difficult for God? Everything. God controls everything. Gam, such a pasuk, and another question, this thing of being translation, which is often printed in the Chumash, and often has, Unkelus Israel gave Tanaya. God is mighty over the mighty ones. Over the first side, idea of God being mighty, exalted. Surely that's the whole idea of going out of Egypt, where even though Paro himself felt very proud and confident and didn't want to let the Jews go, he was a complete ruler. Nonetheless, even though Paro was so mighty, high and mighty. You could say that nice English phrase. Nonetheless, the field is greater than him. So, Shvirat Klipat Paro was the breaking of the impure force of Paro, Ugulat B'nei Yisrael Mimenu, and the redemption of Jewish people from him. So, that was the whole idea of going out of Egypt. Avumar Shainyan Ditkael Geftonaya. Why does this idea of the mightiness of God being specifically Kriyat Yamsuf Dafka about the splitting of the sea? There are many ways God can do things. God could have revealed this power, this quality, but often in a different way. Why? Then we also have to consider Vagam Tzarek Lavin, a famous Hazal, a saying of the sages, Al Pasas, Moses will sing. It doesn't sound in the past, but he will sing the Shonatid in the future. Say the sages, from here we learn the idea of the revival of the dead from the Torah. In other words, when the Messiah comes and there'll be the revival of the dead, there'll be Moses and there'll be the whole Jewish people of that time and they'll sing this song. What connection does this song of the sea with the revival of the dead? Okay, the revival of the dead is one of the 13 principles of faith. There's, the 12th one is that we believe the Messiah will come. The 13th one is and after the coming of the Messiah. So that's an important eschatological Jewish concept. What does it have to do? So splitting of the sea. Shedafta bashira shaita be'et kriyat yamsuf. That in the song at the end of the sea, Niamazin Yan Triatamitim, there's a hint to the concept of. Okay, are there any questions? I've been asking questions, but has anyone got any questions on the questions? All straight.
Yes, I have one. What was the party and go out in the same site? I didn't catch that.
Absolutely. I mean, that really is what the whole thing is about, that the going through the sea, the spiritual revelation, going beyond the whole nature of existence. That is the whole fundamental purpose of the Jewish people, which was go to Sinai. Now, Mount Sinai was 7 weeks after leaving Egypt, and it was, and the splitting of the sea was a kind of rehearsal. It was a step towards the Sinai experience, when the barrier between not just the physical world, but all levels and the essence of the divine, that barrier would be dissolved, and of the divine. So in other words, by going into the sea, which splits, and it was a remarkable prophetic experience. It's the sages, a simple young girl at the prophetic insight than the prophet Ezekiel. Now the prophet is prophets in the Bible, the apart from Moses, and he was prophetess about the third temple at the splitting of the sea. What she saw was greater than what Ezekiel experienced. So it's a tremendous rehearsal, so that's why they
went out, and
that's it.
Tali, I got a question on the previous page, footnote 7, when it for Hashem to split the Red Sea.
Right.
At the end, it says, I don't know what that means.
But it says, you see, it's giving reference to the Talmud. This is used, this is cited in Psachim 118a.
Yeah.
So you'll get a whole Indian apparatus, which is printed in the regular edition, a whole list of other references where this is found as well. So you see, there's a... There is the cross-referencing. So there is a cross-reference in Sotah, where you can see all the other places in the Talmud where this is shown. Any other point for anyone? By Ian Bazer. Now, this word, this, the fish, matril b'dibur, matril ashir el Hashem, as these words in Torah Or, by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the chin b'or atin seems to be the other way around. It's Torah Or, Torah of light, and light of Torah. But that's what Rabbi Tzimah said. On the text of the Talmud, and various things the sages say, we will have right. In other words, we have to understand the secret. What is our soul doing here in this world? So, famously, in Chabad Zod, and in general, it is a great descent. To allow it. In other words, we sometimes have to stress in difficult times, for example, that life, soul, is here in this visible part of the spectrum. The soul is here. There is the earlier part for the soul, whereas in a higher world, the later part, it ceases to be in the world, and it ascends again. So it's the invisible part of the spectrum of the soul before it came into this world. And for the soul to leave that world and come into this world, like, you know, being a high roof with the wonderful view of the landscape and the full and beautiful air and sunlight, and suddenly, boom, down it into a deep pit where it's dark, cold, wet, slime. The soul has this spiritual freedom before it enters the world. And then it suddenly goes to the animal soul, which is assigned to it, and the body, which suddenly eats. It wants to sleep, it wants to do this, it wants to do that. And the soul, it's like inside the body, it's like being in a pit. So, it's now perspective life. We normally think of life as and so on here. From the soul's point of view, life is a tremendous challenge. But then there's a problem. There's a Hasidic or Kabbalic here. This is the reason why the soul comes into the world is because by being able to ask, 180 years, whatever it is, the soul then ascends into a higher level. It's not going so for the soul, no problem disturbing, and then to leave it. It's into a much higher level than it could ever have been on if it was just in the spiritual realm. We really have to try and understand. What concept could the soul enjoy by coming down into this world? But not only that, as I said, and as a famous concept, so that's very difficult to get at the beginning of all the matter. The mind says, "Neshama shtad the bread that we can say in the morning prayers." Lord, the soul, the kaiyah and neshama. This is talking about soul. Kafid sheshayechet kfali. This is the way soul is when it's already focused on a beginning. Now zenem and natar tabiin. It says, "You've given this soul." I didn't make any effort to get soul. Shereid which is acquiring, like buying it. Shuhu bederech misbum misapulayis. Abu natata. You gave it to me. Who in yana matan fanoten? God giving a gift, like everyone giving a gift to give generous sweat. Who in a shua above the mighty smack. But who in Yan Itar, the arousal from above that comes from self. So there is the expression of intense revelation. Right? The soul is a gift from God to us. It's so precious from the divine. Through this descent, though, it was not came into the world. What is this only? A land which is so high, it's higher than Dane, but the soul, you and me, which is a gift from God. The soul is a divine gift from God, and you're less from the fact coming down into this very impure world. Very challenging world. The soul ascends to a higher level. Towards the answer over here, and the answer is all the same argument, that everything is reaching some utterly beyond the world. And beyond even the spiritual levels of the world, the levels that go into the world, that's the theme of naturalistic writing is of dimensions, which govern the world, or which we can contemplate, or things like that, those levels. And so the soul comes down into the world, and then through the fact of being within it, goes to a level absolutely the same way There is the splitting of the sea, which is a revelation. There is the revival of the dead, is the idea of this. These things connect together, absolute beyond, this accessing the absolute. Yes,
please. Like decisions and experience in life, can it make any difference to like how the soul goes?
That's the tremendous power of the soul, that it has the ability to transform the animal structure of the person, the body of the person, the clothes we wear, the home we live in. That's all part of the physical world, transform that by the way in which we behave. And so therefore to reveal the utterly beyond in the everyday, in this way, send down the world to achieve. And so the more you say in the high spell, may not be evil, but that's evil. And even when Israel in the world, I'm not being sounded away. But with the room, there's a Moses lived 120 years. Okay, thank you. I said, I lived 180 and he'll be gone, so that's great. So thank you for pointing that out to him. Yeah, I remember that. But even there will be the revival of the dead. Physical people here in the world, but at that point, combining the boundless and the boundless infinite. One of the things that intrigued me when I fell in mathematics, that there are different orders of infinity. And the divinity of the infinite God being revealed here in this. Any other points for anyone?
I'm just wondering how you do it, like.
Yeah, the mathematician, I'm sure Agnes knows it, the mathematician who wrote about orders of infinity, order of infinity, Aleph, used the letter Aleph, and he put a little note at the bottom, Aleph null, Aleph with a little zero. So there is a higher order of infinity, which is Aleph 1, Aleph 2, and then Aleph 3, and Aleph 4, and the highest order of all.
Agnes,
do you remember his name? I'm not sure if I can add his. All right, so. So that's a very, very of infinity. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Hold on. No, you have got the time.
Yes, go on.
There was a lady who wrote a book for children, Playing with Infinity was the title of that. And the name of the lady, mathematician, was Rose Peters. Now, the other thing I could contribute to this question, have high order in mathematical terms. Is that of interest?
Yes, go on.
A number between 1 and 2. It can be a number of fractions that connect between one and number one and two, or between the number zero and one. So there is an infinite adjacent numbers of the number scale. But 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, you can go on with this until in these numbers, there is an infinite number of numbers. So the numbers can be construed to between zero and infinity is then just between, for example. And if you take a plane, then the plane, you can have in both dimensions an infinite number of numbers. A plane is a third order of infinity. And if you take a three-dimensional space, it's a yet higher order of infinity. And you can know what happens, but it is, what did you say, Aleph? Aleph, I think it's completely beyond my capability to learn.
Yeah, it's
good. Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, so, your hand. Yeah.
So would that mean?
Well, Jeffrey, let's get back to Amin. Thank you very much for giving us those illustrations of the way there are different, and that you can then translate into the spiritual realm, that there are higher and higher levels.
But is the soul lost then?
Is the soul? No, the soul's not lost. No. Well, it's a very interesting aspect of Jewish thought, that the soul does not dissolve, the soul remains.
It doesn't get absorbed into the oneness.
Disappear, but in fact, what the thrust of Jewish mystical thought is, that the soul retains its, for each person, its identity.
Thank you.
Now let's see six on the second page. I think is it the second or the third page. Achainyan hu, but the subject is as follows. Sha'al yedei ha-yeridan amat, that through the descent below, mitaleit ha-nesham adagat bal tshuva. A bal tshuva. That's an incredible step. Vihinei ha-ma biyotah l'mailu, because the soul, when it's above, before it comes into the world, the righteous person, the Hasidic teachings about a tzaddik, has no negative desires in him or her, because that soul that you, God, gave me as a gift, it's pure. And that relates to the world of absolute, the world of emanation. There are four spiritual realms. It's the world of action here, and then there's the higher world of formation, of emanation. And in that realm, no evil. There's no possibility of sin. So where it begins, that's why the sages say, creation of man, or the creation of the world, the souls of the righteous. That means the creation of the world. Just by the way, that all of our souls, normally when every relative has heard this idea that God's righteous, assumes that means there have been a few righteous people, you know, Abraham, Moses, great, were consulted by God. The Rebbe is saying here a different thing. The Rebbe is saying it was your soul and my soul. But your soul and my soul, tzaddik, but I know that I'm not. So your soul and my soul, when they were on a higher level, they were tzaddikim. They before they entered the world, they were on the level of the way that God consulted these souls. And by the descent of the soul below, and then the soul has quality of repentance. And that's a new thing, because we're tzaddik to repent. atomic in this graphic image by the fact that a soul comes down into the lower world where it encounters all kinds of different problems of about this. It says the spirit will return to God who gave it. Behind that, the ascent, the end of life, it's to God who gave that soul. It's higher than the realm where it matzilut, the realm of emanation. The soul has some kind of vision. The idea that you gave me the soul. Even though it's in the world, it's got some connection with the body. Whereas when you go to a higher level, Elohim, in order to get something from that very exalted level of Elohim, there has to be this tremendous step. Tzimtzum is a kind of ultimate veiling. And the Lurian Kabbalah, the Kabbalah, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, written about by Rabbi Chaim Vital in his book, Eitz Chaim, he describes how in order for existence to begin, there had to be a process called Tzimtzum, which is a process of veiling light, or the light becomes hidden in some way. Because in this world, in this halal, the universe, all the universes are, they're in a kind of space now, and that's but shining. And that infinite radiance wouldn't allow the world to exist. And so therefore, the infinite radiance had to be concealed, and that step of called Tzimtzum. And then after that, there's able to be the revelation of, yeah, this word Elohim hints at something absolutely beyond. It's like a concealed aspect. The Tzimtzum is on a higher level altogether. But the Tzimtzum HaRishon, like the very first Tzimtzum, the radiance of the infinite filled the entire space of existence. For the worlds to be there, gam lo, the olam atzilut, not even the world of emanation, which is so spiritual. But rak hayedei tzimtzum, but only freely. Because then, like this, yachol liot nimshach, you could get from mibchinat Elokim, from the level of Elokim, which is on such an tzimtzum, mibchinat netana, to the idea that he gave as a gift the soul to each of us. That difference between the soul, that's like an infinite difference of infinity that Agnes is talking about. So that's an infinite difference. That is what the soul achieves, this tremendous thing. The fact that it descends into the body, repentance. Because even higher than that level of Elohim giving right to, which is the world of Atzilut, and it goes to the level of that beyond the giving. Now, I would be drawing a diagram like this. I'm just hoping or wondering, are you able to understand this? Like, it's on this very high level, and then comes the level of giving. Giving comes to the level of giving the soul. That's the world of emanation. That's the world of Atzilut. It's as if the soul comes there. Now, there are some souls which are lower than the world of Atzilut, and then they get revealed at a lower level. So most souls are actually the world of action, or the world of formation. But so the world of creation is already a higher soul, Atzilut. It's the beginning of Atzilut, in some sense.
Is he talking about Ilkun Neshamot?
It's the way the soul begins. The first Gilgul. Then after that is the issue of Gilgul Neshamot. That means the soul then passes away, and the soul coming up above, achieved in this world, it might be told you've got to go down again into the world and complete an incomplete task. So that's Gilgul. But hang about here, is higher than that. It's the original origin of the soul. Incidentally, we generally consider that all the Gilgulim, the serious Gilgul, the serious incarnations, have already taken place. And you and I, basically the soul that we have, that's it. And we have to, you know, it's the end game now. We've got to complete the task. It's a matter of putting it off for a Gilgul.
Yeah, no pressure.
It certainly goes together with the idea of Mishra being supposed to come. I'm not sure who first made a statement. Maybe are you able to elucidate who first suggested this?
The first one who said it, the line of the Rebbe, who said that in order to reveal, there needs to be a certain amount of time, and there isn't that much time left.
Oh dear, I had so many plans for the next line.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's the word that I believe anyway. And not having completed its task, it has the combinations and shine coming from it. But it's that neshama has what, and that's one of the interesting things about Biurim. And it's also in Tanya Perek Lamazan, which this Maimon talks about. Namely, that not only neshama, every soul, have the sparks which it redeemed, but each spark is supposed to be redeemed by a specific neshama. So that in other words, it's not just something what I can do, nobody else can do. It's irreplaceable. There's a specific.
Wow.
It's not just that something is waiting to happen, and some kind of energetic person, and some kind of a real workaholic is going to go finish. A spiritual workaholic is going to do his and mine.
So maybe also, I mean, if that Elohim level is the first. Maybe it's also the last. I mean, maybe it's connected to tshuva. What you're supposed to be able to do is try to Elohim, because then you're finished.
To me, what I understand from Deborah's teachings and the way he explains the Talmud, every day is that life finished today. In other words, what I have to do today, that is a lifetime. It's one of the, it says in the Tehillim, in chapter 1,000 years to you is like one day. So there are different interpretations of what that means. Does it mean that to God, you know, he's higher than time, so it's limited to that's limited. That whether a person lives, it's limited. And that to me means that every day is infinitely precious. Every minute, every opportunity is not just, you know, another thing to add to my CV. That is my life. That moment is the moment of life. I'm not waiting till my time will be up and then I'm going to go. But my life is right now. That life, that aspect of my life is now, and it's only now, because once that day or that hour or that moment passes, then I'm into the next lifetime already. That is the next lifetime.
Wow.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question? Sorry, Father, carry on.
Yes, Elabina?
So I thought Elohim was on a lower level than the Tetragrammaton, which I thought was lower than the Atzmut, the very essence. How do the three compare?
You're right. Normally, Elohim is describing a level of God at the lower level. And here, it's the opposite. Here it's at a level which is so much beyond that it's called Elohim. Tetragram, which is the source.
Okay, thank you. Is it a level of absolute then?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes, Rivka.
Dr. Lovendal, you said that this is the last Gilgul that there is now.
Right.
Yeah. So what, people are different. I mean, some people are religious, some not. So how does it happen when a person dies nowadays and he's not very religious? So compared with his end of life, then somebody who is much more advanced and much more, where is soul ego? Will they go to the same place? One who really hasn't finished really his job?
Well, the answer I would give in a book of Polish Hasidic teaching, I've never seen this comment made in Chabad, but maybe Rabbi Lu would correct me. No, that person is not the Gilgul of some great tzaddik who has some tiny thing undone and he's come into the world and he managed to do that.
This is the answer. Sorry. That assuming that there's a very little thing just to accomplish, to complete.
Well, you know, we can't tell. You see, the Chabad...
Yeah. I was thinking that what you said and what you're saying now is number one. That neshama, that soul, only had a certain thing to fulfill. But even more to the point, we are not able to judge each person where he or she is, what they are actually doing, even though it might be a fraction of what it really is a fraction. But what the person who's very religious and doing a lot of things might be doing even a smaller fraction of what they could. Or should, given all of the factors in a person's life, the temptations, their pressures, and then what are in their life, which they're not necessarily sharing with us. It's very, we can't compare one person to the other.
That's very important.
In Tanya, Rama said that the essence of life is that it's a battle, a struggle. Objectively, one person is more righteous and doing more good deeds than the other. A personal thing for that person's reward and punishment. But in terms of what that person, both of them might be and failing, in the, except that one, it doesn't present
that way. Right. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're now coming to see the different section discourse. And we're now coming to a very important section about the life of the soul and Torah and Tefillah. Torah study, and what he's going to come to here is something I believe, which is very, I was learning it earlier. I made a note of it for myself. You know, it's something to remember and keep in one's mind. So let's see what it says. So to remember the reason. So this is section Gimel, which is on page Chet. So to remember the reason, Lama dafka b'yehidat neshama lamata, why is it that dafka, specifically below in the body, we have this ascent, that we have this. Now, let us first consider the difference between Torah and Tefillah, Torah study and prayer. Now, very teachings discuss this, and it's fundamentally important because our life, spiritual life, is a process of imbibing Torah teaching, which is from above to below, and of reaching towards the divine in prayer, which is from below to above. It's a way of marking and of understanding and of assessing our spiritual, the deeper dimension of our spiritual life. Then you have the actions, hello, putting a mezuzah on one's door, eating kosher. There are all these physical dimensions as well, but at the heart there is the Torah study in prayer. Shematina b'zein yanim hafkiyim. When Torah sources, we find opposite ideas. The lefamim boashet says Torah is higher than prayer, like it says in the Mishnah. The Talmud talks about very, very important things. This is part of what one could say in the morning. It's part of bits of Torah that are recited in the morning after having. So it gives a whole list of things, and it says in Talmud Torah, studying Torah is higher, and they include iyun tefillah, praying in a deep way. And so that seems that Torah is higher. Sometimes we find, as it says in the Talmud, Halavai shiyitpalel adam kol hayom kulo. Talmud says, that makes an interesting idea. It says, if only a person would daven all day long. So we see that tefillah, prayer, is higher than Torah. He'd be involved in prayer the whole day, not Torah. So, and then we have the idea that there were Hasidim who would pray a very long time. So now that is as regards Torah and prayer, right? Sometimes Torah is higher, sometimes prayer is higher. V'chein, now we've moved on to page Tet, line 3. Similarly, concerning Torah and the souls of the Jewish people. Sometimes it says Torah is higher than the soul. As the sages tell us, there are three knots, three links, which link one with the other. The Jewish people connect, the Torah connects to the Holy One, best be he. So this way of reading that, but this way of reading this idea is that through Torah, the souls of the Jewish people connect. So there's this idea that there's the soul. Through the Torah, the soul connects the divine. Higher than the Torah. As we learn in the Midrash, seven things came before Torah and the Jewish people. And then it's, and I don't know which one comes first. When it says in the Torah, command the Jewish people, speak to that the souls of the Jewish people, they came before the Torah. So we have the idea that the soul of the Jewish is higher than the Torah. All right. So we have these various things which, you know, with Torah and prayer, Torah and the souls of the Jewish people. So section the inyan bazeh. Now what this means is the hine. Tefillah inyana ha'la'at l'mala. Tefillah means, prayer means rising from below to above. As we have the picture of the ladder is standing on the ground, the lowest level of the ground. Achza, as if it's the lowest dimension of the ground. And then and through prayer, one climbs higher and higher, even because it says hashamayma. Yes? The ladder is standing on the ground, which means beyond further movement. Artsa means two. like till it's beyond. And the head of the ladder reaches the heavens beyond the heavens. So in the ladder of prayer, there are four rungs. It means just as there are four rungs in terms of the soul coming from above to below. As it says, the soul that you gave me is pure. That's Atzilut. You created it, the world of creation. Atal Yitzata, you formed it, the world of formation. You blew it into me, the world of act. Those are these four worlds. And then it lists them, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, these four worlds of emanation, formation, and action. K'mochen yesha bashleva, four rungs in the ascent below to above through prayer. In fact, there are guidebooks where it writes, you know, this is the world of action, then we come to the world of formation, and so on. Vahena, here's a beautiful verse. I'm sorry, I meant to find it in Safaria and put it up so that we would see it in context. These are the four levels of Ruach, Rash, Esh, were called Mamadaka. About Elijah the prophet, after the events at Mount Carmel, it wasn't Haifa then, but after the events at Mount Carmel, there's a contest between Elijah and the priests of Baal. And Elijah, the priest of Baal, and put a sacrifice on it and called out to Baal, and nothing happened. He made an altar, put a sacrifice on it, and he called out to God, and fire came from heaven and burnt the offering on the altar. And all the people shouted out, Hashem, Hu Elokim, Hashem is God, which we say seven times at the climax of Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur. It's a phenomenal thing. Hashem is God. But after that, Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, to kill Elijah, and it was still a very, very depressed, if you want to put it that way. And he goes on back to Mount Sinai, and he wants to surrender his role as prophet, as an amazing sight coming from God, that there's a wind, and rash, and thunder, or earthquake. Eish and fire, and then a cold mamadaka, a still small voice. Now, what is translating this climactic vision that Elijah had, prayers every time he prayed? Because the section of prayers which are amat yishtabach, which are called the verses of praise, that's, and the blessings of the Shema are the rash, are the thunder. And in the Shema, we speak about the way the angels, Barash Kador, the thundering noise, that's the fire of love, because the Shema is an ex loving the divine. You should love the Lord your God. And if one's going to choose one thing to pray, which takes 45 seconds, say the Shema and the first paragraph of the Shema. And in that, we have the loving God, and this is the expression of this fire of love. Now we come to the Amidah. Now in the Amidah, a person stands still with their feet together at Jerusalem and says these words of the Amidah in a whisper, and that is the still, quiet voice. And so, and that is this very, very spiritual moment of being connected with the divine in the Amidah. It's the whole idea of the soul coming down into the world. Because through this, or through those four levels of prayer. So in other words, it's an incredible thing. The idea of repentance is going back to one source. So the fact that the soul has come down into the world, and it's in the world surrounded by all the difficult things that there are in life. And yet the soul takes out and it prays. It gets the person to pray. You and I, we pray a little bit. And we have these four, if we're able to manage these four stages, the wind, the thunder, the fire, and the still small voice. And God was in that still small voice. That's the real meat.
Sorry, is the Kedi Zimra is the Ruach, is it?
Yes. Yeah, it's really a memorable thing. You know, it's something one could remember whenever one davened, whenever one prays. And so the soul comes down into the world in order to climb up in this ladder. And the fact that we've climbed up in this way, exalted, because we've been here in the world, and yet with these few minutes to pray, we sometimes feel a little bit of that ecstasy and love is really excited. That for the soul, it's something absolutely wonderful, these moments. So that's prayer. But in order for us to have that kind of enthusiasm, we need, first of all, the idea of Torah, because Torah is the, like this teaching we're learning now together. This is teaching us something about prayer. So this is empowerment that afterwards can be through the prayer, the step where we climb. I mean, because the Torah says, my words are like fire. The Torah is always pure. And so this is an empowerment that even a person, we are, from the way we behave in different ways, can have so many negative aspects to ascend in prayer. And then, so here of Torah and prayer. And then we have the, 1 second. So relates to the fact of the Jewish people with the Torah. With the Torah, we connect to God. Because the Torah, in this sense, is higher than the soul people, and it's higher than prayer. Because even when the Torah comes down below, it's something, it's words of fire. So therefore, in order that we should now, it's page 11, able to climb up through prayer, we first have to have this idea of Torah, which is this empowerment fire. But after we've got that empowerment from the Torah, then the way we climb up in prayer is actually to a level higher than the Torah. Because then the soul reaches its root, and the way the soul in its origin is actually higher than Torah. So through the soul, we can actually add to the Torah. As if we add to the Torah, which is below us, by drawing down a higher radiance. Well, this is a very powerful, which I believe we're able to take away with us if we write down, you know, remember the see it in the Book of Kings. And I'm sorry, I didn't actually get the, I didn't read it there. It's there in 1 Kings 9, verses 11 to 12. There you've got the wind, the thunder, the fire, and so those are the steps of Revelation. And remember, it's a beautiful scene, and that's where we are, in a sense, whenever. Now, the discourse goes through comes out. First of all, there's a translation of on different levels, on a lower level of Sphirot, higher level beyond the Sphirot, and then it talks about it in terms of repentance. Repentance, that tefillah, prayer is repentance, and then to understand the power of repentance, which is at the very, very highest level. And so that's us. Finally, we're going to have to move ahead to page 20, and on page 2, now, you see, the whole idea is going beyond, that going beyond, that going level, the aleph not to the power, but to the lower digit, aleph, to the aleph. Reaching that aleph, the aleph. And I showed us the way that in the different dimensions you can imagine more and more and more levels, orders of infinity. So Vazel Gaminyan Hafla, the Kiyati thing about the splitting of the sea, about which it says he turned the sea into dry land. This concealment, the realm of hiddenness. Dry land means something revealed. At the splitting of the revealed, the ultimate hidden realm was revealed, and that is absolute essence. The Helam Ha'atmi, the concealment of essence of the divine Adam. And that's what it says, that he's mighty above the mighty ones. The mighty are those of the very, very highest levels. Very exalted level, he explains it in spiritual terms, the radiance of the divine being. And that is what is being revealed. And then Revelation, everything is equal. Moses and the Jewish people, tremendous sense of unity. I remember my very, I think it was the first time I was in a gathering with Rabbi Moshe Lever. It was an amazing event. It was the 12th of And it was a sense of such incredible unity. It was just expanding, let's say. It's completely expanding. And that sense of unity was something very, very incredible. And here it's describing the splitting of the sea, and indeed prayer, is a moment of reaching this mind experience, and all is one, and everyone, and there the Jewish people are there together with Moses, a different level. Moses is from the world of thought. I drew him out of the water, and the water means something which is very exalted spiritually, and now the time of the revival of the dead, and that's why the revival of the dead is hinted at in this song of the sea. idea of the revival of the dead, that is the idea of tshuva, of repentance. Tshuva is higher than Torah. And therefore, by the fact that there is this repentance reaching higher and higher, and that is revealed in the Torah, and it's revealed in our soul, revealed in us. And so then there was this quality when we went out of here, there was the splitting of the sea, there was a revelation of the divine, a revelation to us. Revelation is there in the most intense way, and that will be with the coming of tremendous revelation. So there we have the idea of prayer and tshuvasi and repentance at all unifying us in the most tremendous way, and the coming of Mashiach now, mamash, and straight away the revival.
Amen.
Okay.
One point.